Blog Talk Radio.
Have that talent. Welcome to North Carolina.
Have that talent.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got that rhythm.
I'm gone.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got
come on, come on, come on, come on.
I'm gone. I'm gone.
Come on, come on.
I'm gone.
Welcome, family. Hello to those old friends and greetings to those new friends. Thank you so very much for joining me. And we are in the Care to Read room. Why don't you lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. And we are still in the celebration mode, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, we were supposed to have a show yesterday, but I had to cancel that show. And we are going to go on with our celebration, ladies and gentlemen. And we've been celebrating, looking at our customs and traditions and culture. The last time we talked, we were talking about the celebrations of holidays of the Bembe. And I was discussing with you all of our saints and the Orishas and the fact that the Orishas represent the same thing as angels do in most of your Catholic churches. They also look at saints. So what I'd like to do is to go on a little bit further, but before we get started, I'd like to take a short break to acknowledge our ancestors. Now let's stand to our feet as if we're about to receive and with our hands faced up. We like to call on our ancestors from the east and from the west, the north, south. And as we call on these ancestors, ladies and gentlemen, we ask them to permeate this room and let them know that they're definitely welcome here today. Now, I'd like to also say if you want to give out a name of a hero or shero or any of your loved ones, you call those names out, and you also print those names out and put them on your altar and remind yourself to call their names periodically because we want to be reminded of them. And they still need nourishment, and they still need attending to. So remember to call their names out. I like to say that this celebration of this year is on behalf of our five-year celebration. And there were several people that I had invited to be here. I think they might be out of the country. One of them is Teju Olaboni, storyteller out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a very, very good friend of mine. We used to travel together, and he would recite his stories, and I would do my dissertation on my thesis. So I like to say, if you're out there in the atmosphere, Teju Olaboni, and you're in another country, maybe next year you can join us. However, ladies and gentlemen, it is so difficult around this time of day for people to get off work to get on the phone. They all want to be on the phone, but they prefer to have that 10 o'clock late at night. But it's a little difficult to switch now that I have all my shows scheduled in for 5:30. So nevertheless, we're going to go on with the program as usual. And what I want to talk about today, I want to shift a little bit and talk about families in the structure of looking at how we can continue to include family into our relationships and into our platonic friendship. Now, as I talk to you about the necessity of having music in our lives and dance and how our communities can start healing themselves from these dreadful mental dispositions with just a little dancing, the reason why you find so many black people heavily go out to the nightclubs is they are overburdened with stress, and that's a form of relieving stress. Now, if we were going to be very, very practical about addressing the fact that just as we need air and water to breathe, we need the ability to be able to exalt energy. Some people are more frequency-led and higher in their energy levels, and they need to release that energy. And the one way you can release it is through dance. Now, in the families, you may see families of children who are good dancers. and you see those children go on to become professional dancers. So the African Americans are always told, oh, you can really dance. You naturally know how to dance. That is not really the case. Now, having rhythm may be the case because we have a sense of a heartbeat that continues to beat and we hear the rhythm. So what I want to say is in our families, we are going to have to incorporate the necessity of having the jam sessions, not only when we're having a wedding or a funeral, but in between that, we're going to have to use it as a form of therapeutic help for our families. Now, I did say yesterday, or day before yesterday, that we're looking at the African-American family. However, we want to look at all other diverse and lower socioeconomic groups as well, because a large percentage of them pretty much pattern themselves after us. And you will see them doing similar things that we're doing, maybe not in all the customary ways, but in the same category. So I'd like to take this time to say hello to our sister station, Harambe, and I'd like to say go ahead on, Brother Delaney, and give you 3 shouts out for the great work you're doing out there and running that radio and television station. I say Harambe, Harambe, Harambe. Go ahead on and keep on with the keep on. Now, I was on that station for a short time, ladies and gentlemen, and that still will always be my sister station. And I like the work that they're doing and the work that I was doing. And they are working with youth and children on Saturday. So you want to check them out because they have a full-blown program that one of the presidents from the UNIA is operating. So Brother Singal. And he is operating that program. We have to come together, hosts and radio DJs, and we have to start inviting each other on each other's shows, and we have to start supporting one another. It's just simply no other way of doing it. I mean, if you're going to have great shows, you're going to have to start looking at what some of the other shows are doing and inviting them and not going behind their back and trying to sabotage them. This is a celebration. And I don't want to talk it up all day. I want to play some music in lieu of the fact that this is a celebration. And we're going to get right back to you because we are talking about 100. Now, if you're about the 100, come on in the room and celebrate with us. All right?
As I look up to the sky, thought about 100 things to do before I die. Hit all the girls I want and make sure my niggas right, and my family live that life. La, la, la. As I look up to the sky, thought about 100 things to do before I die. Wondering if I can live it all in one life, cause it can all end in one night. La, la, la. Thought about 100 things to do before I die. Couple niggas on the hit list and bitches on a different type. Same shit, different night, till I live a different life. Shine, you looking tired. Damn, homie, that's all. I've been stressing so hard, I'm surprised I ain't going bald. Haters praying I fall, move back in with my mom. Take online classes and turn back into y'all. Hating, I guess they want your lifestyle when you the plug. Niggas wanna catch you slipping like they pulled a rug. From where they move the drugs, Buddha love. Niggas sleeping with that Mac and I ain't talking about computer love. Oh, the wrong people, you a price tag. Now you pray to God, hoping that you got a Christ tag. God. Make it where.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, because of the sake of time, I did want to do an evaluation of this particular song, and I wanted you to know why it was chosen. It is a message there, and the message needs to be discussed. The brothers are using some profanity in inappropriate ways, but what I wanted to point out to you is the brother was they're sending a message. They're talking about borrowing from people and becoming a price tag because now you got a number on your head if you don't pay back. They're talking about their last breath and what they should have, could have, would have did before they exit this earth and what they need to think about doing. And they're at the same time talking about if they ever make a dollar, that they want to make good on their children and they want to leave a legacy to their children. And that they would not have any respect for you if you are not building for the future of your child. Now, these are some adult-like issues that they are addressing, even though they're using 50-cent words. We have to look at the fact that We are going to go through some changes, and young brothers have to talk about what is going on in their hood. They may not have all the elegant words to express themselves, but they try to do it with the pulse of the people and relating in the best way that they can. Now, there's a whole lot going on here. There's transitioning in our death. There's making an assessment of one's life, of finding out if they are completing the task that they were sent here to do. They're taking a look at their family and the responsibility of leaving their children behind after they've exited this earth. So we've got to look at lyrics. What are they saying? What message are they sending to us? And if you out there would like to come into the chat room, please do. We've been trying to get you to come in to be a host as we try to open our doors for you to be a part of what we're doing. The one thing I want to say is that we decided to be open for the whole week to give everybody a chance who couldn't get here at those different times of the day to be a part of our celebration. We can't celebrate without you. Dino, drop by. We haven't heard from you, our old friend. Floyd, drop by. Also, Cala Nation, where are you? These are all of our friends and supporters. They get so busy, they forget that Omi's got a celebration. What is a celebration? You know, I've been all on the Facebook saying, come on out, it's a celebration. People love a celebration. They don't care what you're celebrating. They want to be there to wish you well. So what I'd like to say is that my wish for this station is that we will reach large sums of people with the instructions of becoming literate and becoming well-read and readers. Also to reach those families who have been broken through divorce, through separation, and talk to them about what is a family. Not just the nuclear family, but what is a family? How do we make holiday? How do we stay connected and kin to one another? And I mean kin to one another because white folks, your problems are our problem. We are kin to you, like it or not. It used to be a time when those slave masters made babies in the slave camps. They came back to see their little penny nickels. And when they came back to see them pickaninnies, they came back with excitement in their eyes because they thought that they were birthing something in this world. They were kin to those women, whether or not they took care of the offspring or not. They were part of it. Now, President Jefferson did take the responsibility to take care of some of his offspring, I'll say that. Excuse me. And the main thing is that, like it or not, we're all connected. And if we fail and go down the drain, you better believe all the other religions and all the other denominations and races are soon going to follow us. We cannot do anything individually on our own. So quit looking at those black people over there with the jaundiced eye saying they're never going to amount to anything. Because when you say that we're never going to amount to anything, you ultimately will not become anything yourself. And so go us, so goes all the world. And when black folks seek to exist on this planet, you know it's time for the whole world to debrief itself and empty itself of the earth as well. Because they don't know a time when there weren't African Americans on this planet. There have always been African Americans in every continent that you go to. So what does that mean about our customs and traditions? That means that we're trendsetters. We set customs and traditions. And people follow after us. They want to see what we think about a thing and see what our catch is on it and how we perceive that thing. Then they follow after our suggestion because they know how creative we are. And when we finally get a chance to do something, we put our heart in it. So our celebrations are hearty. Our celebrations are fulfilled. When you see a family in an African-American celebrating a wedding, and it is somebody distinctive in that community, that wedding may go on all day. That's the same way it is in the African community. Weddings and courtships can last for more than 2 or 3 hours, and they linger on in the community because we are kin to one another. So what does it mean to be kin to one another? It means you have a sense of respect for each other. And you have a sense of understanding when blood calls, blood answers. Now, I have seen the Jewish people profess to have suffered the things that we suffer, and they've even come back and shared our customs and tradition. And some folks even say that they replace their customs and tradition for ours. Now, I'm not here to argue with you about that, nor am I here to debate about that. But what I will say is that the civil rights movement that we opened doors for, the majority of the low socioeconomic groups benefited from it. And some of the things we fought for in the civil rights movement, we didn't even get the benefit for, that other immigrants are now benefiting from it. So what are you saying? I'm saying that black folks are empathetic people. We want for everybody but ourselves, and we tend to think that we are being self-centered when we want something specifically for our culture. Well, we are behind in time, and we've got to play catch-up. And nobody seems to understand that. They always want to throw us the ball and say catch-up when they know we were behind in the beginning. So they tend to think we're going to work extra hard to stay in the game. Well, I want to say this to you, African-Americans. Stay in the game. Stay in the game. As a school teacher, I want to say that because they have fed us a line on education. The more education you get, the more opportunities you get. Now, let's reason here together. That statement is no longer true. You've got young people getting degrees upon degrees, and they're coming out with astronomical loans that they have spent money for education. And they're finding out these jobs are not the good jobs like tradesmen jobs after all. And they're finding out they have to work outside of their profession or maybe even work two or three jobs just to make it. So what are you telling the people about the All-American dream? The All-American dream is to get an education? No. The All-American dream is to own property and to have a savings so that you can fall back on and to leave a legacy for your children. You can get all those things without spending thousands and upon thousands and upon thousands of dollars in colleges getting law degrees when you come out, 1,500 of you come out at the same time, and there's only 700 jobs that you fight over in one particular community. That's what's really happening. There's an excessive amount of certain industries, such as lawyers, but yet you find all these people changing their whole lives to sit for the LSAT, to go to college, to borrow the money from their families, and then to take out loans to only come out and find that there are fewer jobs, and if you're not with the government or in a private type of setting or in a specialty area, then you find yourself working outside of your profession. So here's the deal. The All-America dream is to learn how to get a yacht, to own your own business. And because we are all kin to one another and we all have goods and services that we want to market, then we ought to help one another. Being kin to one another means you are obligated to assist and aid me because we have a kinship that we share. We have a human rights that we share. Be it black, Hispanic, or be it Jewish, we are kin to one another, like it or not. So we've got to stop this thing about that's their burden and that's their disadvantage. It's all about disadvantage. And if you want us to be on here talking salubrious diversity, we've got to talk from a perspective. We can no longer continue to create the rich and the poor. We can no longer continue that because our hip-hoppers have shown us, even in their idiosyncrasy, like they are the Beverly Hillbillies, could move next door to you and be a billion dollar commodity and not have the etiquette that you're accustomed to for those rich people. They've shown us that overnight they can turn billionaire and rich and not have to go to school one day but use their talent. So I'm saying to young folks who don't have the money to go to school or the talents. Find the talents that you are good at, and if it be in the music industry, get somebody in your family to get behind you and push you all the way to the front of the class. Because I'm here to tell you, baby, if you can get to the front of the class like Beyonce or Jay-Z, then you can be the head of the class for a century. And the reason why I say that, we need to be grooming our young children to have talent on the side when school does not work for them, to come out and be in consortiums and go on the road and play their guitar and their percussions and drums. And if they should get lucky and get in a gig, then that can change their life financially. But you don't hear this talk in school. And they close down every music department and arts department and tell you they can't afford it. Well, they cannot afford not to have it. Now we're looking at our schools here in Gary, Indiana, and we're all upset because every year that they start over again or every summer, they start closing schools. They have to. It's called an attrition that sets in. When the people get up and move away, you have to readjust your budgets and your schools because you no longer have need of the schools and the number of schools when people leave the city. So please, African Americans in Gary, Indiana, Northern Indiana, please don't be upset with those board members because now if you had played the right game up front and made adjustments as people left, you wouldn't have this gross number of schools closing now. Now people think in less and less of education. And they're thinking, what are we going to do? My child can no longer go to that school down the streets. Now we've got to bust them out of the community. It's going to make for a lot of stress in families. And there's going to be a great need for therapists, social workers, to work with these people who are in a crisis, mentally crisis. So do we have need for medical workers or do we have need for social services? The main thing you have to do is look at, can I contract my services out? Can I become a 1099 and contract my services out? It's not always about getting a job to work for someone because they can decide when you work and when you don't. But under a contract agreement, you sign that contract and you set it up. So is everybody suited to run a business? Not necessarily so, but they can be trained. What I'm talking about is all these massive amounts of people attending school and not becoming a specialist. Even with myself going back to school at my age, sometimes I wonder if it benefits anyone. But when you find out what you really want to do, and if you can get that specialty to come back to work for yourself, then it's all worth it. And if somebody's giving you a free ride to go to school and they're paying for it, please definitely take that if they're going to pay for your education. Never turn that down. But we've got to find a way to put our young people to work and start them to work early so they can develop work ethics early and get them a ticket to work at the age of 16 so they can start learning ethical practices of being in a workforce and for working for yourself. Now, Gary, Indiana has flea markets here. At those flea markets, every one of those centers should start mentoring young people under internships and showing them the trades and the ropes of running an actual shop or an actual independent boutique and training them to become affluent in business etiquette so that they learn early to take over their mothers and fathers' shops and they can continue that legacy. I'm about building legacies and explaining to our young children about how necessary it is. My son initially knew that when he was a geek, he wanted to work for himself. He knew that he could contract himself out and get work, but he didn't know how to get the workers under him so that he could extend and delegate that work to them. But he had the spirit of work ethics and working for himself at an early age. Now, young people get bored in these jobs working for someone else. They don't see the vision because it's not their goal or objective. Every young person that leaves school and transition from school needs to have a plan as to how he plans on transitioning in the workforce or into college or into a business of his own. Now, women, I want to say this much to you. My legacy that I want to leave behind is each one teach one. I want to impart the knowledge to teachers to make teachers, to give them the ability to become